So you're running out of closet space. The good news? You don't need to stop shopping. You just need to start selling with The RealReal. The RealReal is the world's largest and most trusted resource for authenticated luxury resale. Whether it's that mini bag that can't even fit your phone, or those boots you never fully broke in, The RealReal handles everything from photography and copywriting to shipping and pricing. So you can just sit back, get paid, and make room for things that actually feel like you. And with 10,000 plus new arrivals every single day from top designers like Prada, Celine, Louis Vuitton, and Loewe, all for up to 90% off retail, you're bound to find something perfectly on brand to fill that extra closet space with. Plus, right now, you can get an extra $100 to shop when you sell for the first time. Make room for what feels like you. Go to TheRealReal.com to start selling and get your extra $100 to keep shopping at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
One of my childhood favorite activities to self-soothe is to make sure that I'm happy and pleasure myself.
Masturbate. You can say the word.
I can't. I'm a kid. I don't know what it means,
you,
Mom.
You would masturbate as a childhood favorite? Are you sure?
How old are we talking here?
You take us to the age where you were doing that and then we'll decide, okay?
Everybody, welcome back to another episode of Tea Time
with Raven and Miranda.
Yeah, that's right. We made it through.
We did it. It's Thursday. Hope you're having a nice one.
Yeah, it's Thursday.
What's up? How are you, babes?
I'm okay.
Oh, the melancholia.
I am in a little bit of a funkalicious, but it happens. I had my normal little snack this morning.
Okay.
And it didn't really perk me up as much as I wanted it to.
Got it. So you're showing up tired. Listen, depressed. Over it.
I'm really working through it, you guys. I'm really trying my best to put on the masks that I've for so long learned how to craft and show up to the table.
Sometimes I really suck at putting on a mask, and I think that you guys have picked up on that sometimes because I'll just sit here like
not giving up.
I don't care. Yeah. I got nothing to say. But honestly, sometimes I feel like my brain is just dead inside and I cannot
As is my heart.
That's why we're married. No, but honestly, it's just so difficult for me to speak or get a thought out. And I'm just, it feels like absolute mush sometimes.
That's called brain fog.
And I have it really bad sometimes.
And I'm sorry for you for that. I go through brain fog too when I don't eat enough or when I'm tired AF or, I don't know, when I just don't give AF.
Yeah, for me, my brain fog, I think, comes... It definitely has something to do with my cycle.
You're on your follicle?
It's always somehow connected to the follicle. And I don't even know. It just
always
sucks.
Always a follicle page, man. It sucks. That's crazy.
Because there are definitely times where I have these days and I feel on. I'm just like connected. Mm. Everything's firing correctly. I can speak.
Pew, pew.
It makes sense.
Pew, pew, pew. Pew, pew.
That's not happening for me today.
I can see it. I can tell by your eyes. Because
right.
your
they look
eyes,
high right now.
They get progressively, the lids get progressively lower and lower because I think you're just getting closer and closer to being completely shut-eyed.
No, honestly.
You're just like, you just go, duh.
No, my eyes do lower when I, the less I care.
Right, and then you're just asleep. You just actually knock yourself out. You're just like.
But it's also my eyes are like really heavy. And I know that I look like I'm high sometimes in real life. But I'm really not.
Maybe you need an upper bleph.
I will never upper my bleph. My bleph is just fine.
But that can make your eyes lighter.
I don't. No, no, no. My eyes are perfect. How heavy they are. Whatever the bleph is.
Yeah.
Being that I've never heard of that area of the body before because I went to anatomy class for drawing. I don't want to touch it.
That's the bleph.
I don't know. I think that's the upper brow.
I think I want one, babes.
Babe, you're not getting any plastic surgery on your face. No. No.
Please.
No, baby. You're not getting any plastic surgery on your face. I can't. I can't subscribe to someone as beautiful as you, as young as you, doing something to your body in the guise of, but for later. I don't think that's the case.
I thought that we both agreed that we were going to have surgeries together around the age of 40. I mean, you're going to hit it first, but like.
Thank you, babes.
You're welcome. Maybe when I'm 40 and you're 43, we can do it. Come on.
I'm not subscribing. The plastic surgeries that I said yes to is not like the bluffering. It's something different. And I can't wait to see you at 40 because you might not need it.
You're right.
You have done so much work, 3 hours every night before you go to sleep of just constant lotions and creams and lotions. Creams, you should be fine.
Tape.
And tape and pulleys and bonnets.
It's wild.
You don't need also
The pulley system on my face is wild.
The strings connected to the lids as you lay down.
But
you don't need
it this way.
No.
If I did a surgery, then I wouldn't have to do all the pulley system and we could spend more time together.
No, I don't want.
We get those 3 hours together.
I do not want to see. This is me. You're going to end up doing whatever you want to with your body.
This is Jennifer Lopez? Mm-hmm. This is me then.
This is me, never then. No, you're going to end up doing whatever you want to for your body. And I will accept you, but I will judge you.
That's okay.
That's fair, right? I can judge you.
Yeah.
With love.
You know what I heard? You know what
I
heard?
Is that crazy?
No. Judgment with love is, I think, what marriage is. I actually heard, though, that if two completely healed people are in a relationship, then there's nothing to mirror. And then they don't judge each other. They accept each other exactly as they are.
I feel bad for
you,
babes.
Can you imagine?
No, I can't. That must be a unicorn. That, I don't know. That must be Katy Perry and the Prime Minister of Justin Trudeau.
What? Why would it be them?
I don't know, because if Katy Perry decides to kiss him out of nowhere, there must be some healedness on both of their ends.
Oh, that was ages ago. But maybe, yeah. It's because when she and Orlando Brown...
Orlando Brown? Oh my God, Katy Perry kissed Orlando Brown. Scoop, doodle, dap, dap.
It's when she and Orlando Bloom announced their divorce, I think over the summer. Then she like quickly rebounded with him.
Well, then that must mean she's healed to a point where she doesn't have to mirror, because if you need to mirror a man like Justin Trudeau, that's dangerous.
Or could it just mean that she's like super fucked up? Because I think they're both super fucked up.
Well, she's an astronaut now, so I wouldn't really put her in the fucked up category. I'd put her above all else.
You'd put her in the outer space category.
Yeah.
You'd put her in the otherworldly.
I would put her in otherworldly.
Okay.
Yeah.
You've been in the industry for 40 years and you've made a lot of music. And I'm wondering, would you want to perform at the Super Bowl?
You know what? Actually, hell no.
No?
I wouldn't want to perform at the Super Bowl.
Why?
Because...
It's the world's biggest stage.
It is the world's biggest stage. It is the world's biggest stage. It is the world's biggest sports event. Slash America, not the world, because FIFA is probably the world. But it's America's baby. And I feel like I wouldn't... Even if I did have smash after smash after smash, I feel like the amount of work that it goes in
to a lot of work
is crazy.
For like 5 minutes.
For 5 minutes.
I mean, maybe a little longer, but yeah.
And I'm a part of the generation that remembers when Michael Jackson performed, when Aerosmith, like Katy, obviously Katy Perry and Beyonce, and...
Did Katy Perry's done the Super Bowl?
Yeah, she showed up on a big old lion.
Oh, that's right.
I've got the... Or maybe it was a tiger. It's probably the eye of the tiger. It's probably a tiger.
No, she didn't say eye of the tiger.
I've got the eye of the tiger. The fight is dancing. Yes, the tiger.
You should do it.
Roar. There you go.
Because eye of the tiger is... Na, 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 na.
About 40 years off.
Yeah.
40 years ago. 40 years ago. Yeah. But to even think about being thought about to perform like Bad Bunny is... You are at a different stage of your career.
Yeah.
When the Super Bowl asks you, hey, could you entertain all of America? You're killing it.
Yeah. Bad Bunny, I think, is interesting because it created so much controversy.
Jesus Christ.
And I think that a lot of people were upset because
they didn't know that
Puerto Rican.
They didn't know that Puerto Rico was American territory.
Correct.
Right.
That. And also, the majority of his music is in Spanish. So that has created just... conversation because of the climate currently, and I guess because he's not a country western singer, I don't know.
I
feel like that, I mean, is when people are like, oh, it's America, then what do you expect, you know?
I expect an amalgamation of music. I think someone who did it best, and forgive me if I'm not, but
was Jennifer Lopez?
Well, it was
And the cages.
I think it's the person who understands that America is a melting pot. So you don't just bring up your culture. You bring up other cultures as well. And I and you have been to the Bad Bunny concert. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be able to recite any of his songs, but the way his voice and music makes me move, it transcends language. But I think you're 100%. Right. It's the culture that we're living in right now that's caused such controversy. And entertainment is supposed to help push acceptance through. And I think that's what they're trying to do.
Well, it's supposed to inspire and motivate. And I wish that people were just more open, because I think that what ends up happening is people, they rob themselves of experience that could be amazing for them. And why do that to yourself? I think that's the thing. You're only keeping yourself in that box. And be open-minded. You don't understand the music, but maybe the music resonates in your body in a different way. It's interesting. It's cool. It's a way of learning and connecting and just being more present in your life.
It's like, you don't have to go out and buy his album, but like me with country music. I grew up in the South. I've definitely listened to it. I understand An Achy Breaky Heart. Like, I get it.
Oh, my gosh.
But I don't buy it. But that doesn't mean I'm going to shun other people from getting it. It just means I'm not going to the country club. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And not the other, I mean, the real country club, not the good one. And I think that's, like, what you're saying. Like, listen to him. See how he performs. His performances are magical. To me, he's up there with a Lady Gaga when it comes to conceptualizing a performance.
Totally.
Yeah. Oh,
and Gaga, I love
me. Did she Lady do Super Gaga. Bowl yet?
Mm-hmm.
When?
She did?
Yeah, it was incredible. They did a documentary about it too. It was so good.
Of course, she got a doc about it.
She would.
That's crazy. Well, I remember I remember Titty Gate. I'll never forget Titty
Gate. I was just about to ask you, did that inspire you?
And to suck on a titty?
Mm-hmm. Did it?
Well, when Janet's titty fell out, I wasn't as offended as most.
You just said, yes, please.
I just was like...
You said, do it again?
I was like, obviously, my turn.
Do you think it was planned?
So stupid.
Yeah, it is.
Do I think it was planned? No, there was people, I don't think it was planned.
Some people were like, it's planned. Other people said it was just truly a happy accident.
I think
some
it was definitely offended. A happy accident. Where were you?
Where was I?
Yeah, on the spectrum of cancelization.
I don't give a fuck. I don't care. People make such big deals out of everything. I don't care. It's a boob. And I think the only reason that I would care is if she cared and she felt violated in some way, then I would be like, okay, that's messed up. But if it truly was an accident, if it truly was just a costume mishap, I know Justin Timberlake like pulled something or whatever. Okay, things happen. You're a performer. Cover that thing really quickly.
Like, and they did.
Yeah, that's all that can be done.
And also her history of her sexuality and sensuality in her music never broke into full nude type things. It was always classy, and I don't feel like that's something that she would do. I don't really know her, but...
I do understand, though, on such a large stage with so many eyes, that does feel extremely... Oh my gosh, not here. Like, why couldn't have this had happened at like any other performance of mine?
Yeah, like at Waffle House.
What?
Like, let the titty fall out at Waffle House.
Yeah. So only like 40 people see it instead of 40 million.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's balance. For sure. Babes, let's take a moment to talk about the Her app.
I'm sapphic.
You are?
Are you?
I guess.
Of course you are.
Look at me go. My sapphic glow.
And you know what I find hard sometimes, especially being a sapphic, is finding communities that understand my thought process.
Ditto.
Right?
Especially in LA, especially nowadays. It just feels really hard.
It really does. And we're in the wintertime, so you know, especially girls who like girls, we like to hibernate. We like to just be cozy by ourselves, but we also need community.
And we also just want that one special person.
Yeah.
I've always felt that way, that if I just had that person, my buddy, my love, then I was good. I didn't need anyone else. And then I could be fully enthralled in my cozy season and couch watching and beautifully amber lit rooms and massages and...
Wow. Go on and on if you dare. I think that before we got married, we would have thrived on the Her app.
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt.
Like, the Her app is a place that you can go where you can make friends, you can make lovers, you can make hookups, you can make community feel natural and easy and not, like, curated, and then you have to, like, sift through things.
And I really appreciate the fact that this app is made for sapphics by sapphics. And I think that that really honestly makes it stand out, because the other apps aren't. No. They're either made by straight guys or straight women. And there is a difference. There's a difference in terms of what we seek, what we look for, what we understand. And I just love that it's the community seeing the community.
And you know what else is cool about the community seeing the community? Mm. A new feature in the app is an IRL community. Aww. So you can, in real life, go meet and meet up with people. Mm-hmm. Oh my god. Do you know how amazing that is? This is like the new era. This is the 2025-2026 reactivation of the sapphic lifestyle. This, my friends, this app, Her, is changing the way sapphics do their thing.
Yeah. It's pulling us out of our pajamas, off of our couches, and saying, remember that there's human life? It's pulling us away from our screens. That's the thing, too. We're all just so screen based that it's really awesome to know that you can get on an app, connect, and then go sit in a place like a park and meet real people.
If all this resonated with you, that means you are going through sapphic restart season. So please do your best today to get off your ass and download Her.
Get off your ass and get the app.
Bye. All right. What's the topic today?
Oh, I don't know. Do you want to go into the teapot and find it?
I do. I really do want to go into the teapot today. I'm hungry. Into the pot.
Into the pot. Here we go. Oh, that's nice.
That's how thirsty and hungry I am.
Jack is going to have a great time editing this.
Jack, you're welcome. All right, here's what we're talking about today on Tea Time. Aw, childhood favorites.
Oh, now do you understand why I said bookmark, goldfish, and mustard?
Now I know why you said that.
The fishy crackers and mustard.
It's called goldfish. Babes.
I call them fishy crackers.
One of my favorite snacks as a kid is a hot dog covered in American cheese, microwaved to the point of, like, kind of burntness. And a side of goldfish. And everything is covered in mustard, even the goldfish. What about you? What's your childhood nostalgic snack, babes? And we know how you are, so just choose one.
It's impossible.
I want to say what I like to do with fishy crackers first, and then I'll answer the question.
Still getting twos. Okay, so get that two in there.
Fishy crackers are extremely aerodynamic. They are great for launching out of your mouth. Okay, and so
Do not try this at home.
You have to take the tail and you put it in your mouth first. Then you have the head pointing out. And if you, and you spit that shit, oh my God, it just goes. And
So head first and you just spit on that shit?
Correct. Head first, sit on that shit. And you just watch it fly and go right into the back of someone's head. It's so good.
Is it just Mimi's back of the head or like in school too?
Just Mimi's. I used to get so much fucking goldfish in my sister's hair just because I was so good at launching it. Thanks for the liquid, Laura. Bring it on in.
Thanks, Laura.
Yeah, so that's a really good trick for anyone who's bored and eating fishy crackers. Just launch them. They're amazing.
Yeah, kids, don't try that at home. We're professional dumbasses.
Yes, it took a long time to learn how to do that with my mouth. We need sound effects. Okay, I'm really actually trying to think. A childhood favorite
snack. But like, I consider a hot dog and goldfish like a snack, even though that's a full on fucking meal.
I was gonna say that's a big ass meal.
Well, I was a big girl.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, if it's that, then my dad's turkey. Provolone,
I've had
pasta.
It. Yeah.
That whole concoction with the Worcestershire, he should just.
So he took ground turkey, he cooked it in a pan just to make it to crumbles, then he put Worcestershire and cheese and tomato and ketchup and moved it all around.
I literally want to call him and have him tell us the recipe.
Jack will not like us.
Why? Let's just do it. Oh, that'll be so funny. Let's see.
Okay.
Hold on.
We're calling her dad for the recipe. Now just know, if you know my wife likes a story, you know my father-in-law
does. Let's see if he answers.
Where's my food at? I'm hungry.
Hi, Moran.
Hi, Dad. How are you?
I'm okay. How you doing?
Doing well. I'm here with Raven.
Hey, Greg.
Hi, Raven.
So we were talking about that pasta dish that you used to make with the ground turkey and the Worcestershire and the provolone. Can you remind me of exactly how you used to do it?
Yeah, I'll try. You know what happens, Miranda? I always did it differently. So I'll give you what I kind of do as a basic.
Okay.
And you can kind of go from there. So ground turkey, right? I have one question. Are you doing white meat or are you doing a dark meat, white meat blend?
Always dark meat, Greg.
So that would be about a 92%. I'm just trying to figure out the fat portion. Well, then you want to put a little olive oil in the pan or it'll stick, right?
Of course.
And then you put in the turkey. I would give it a little salt and pepper. First of all, get that pan hot. Try to get a little bit of crust going, you know, a nice crust.
The yes. Maillard reaction. You need a Maillard reaction, right, Greg?
What?
It's called Maillard. It's a
the Maillard reaction. The browning
don't,
of the
don't
meat.
Worry about it. Don't worry.
Yep.
And so to do that, you want to pat it down, give it a good flip. Don't turn it. Just let it go for a while in the oil, and then the fat will start coming out of the turkey. I would take a little bit of ketchup, a good shot of A1, mm-hmm. and this is in a separate bowl. And just for a little flavor, a little soy, then you add that liquid into the cooking meat. Just let it kind of sit there a little bit as those flavors start to combine.
Perfect. Okay, this is so helpful. Thank you, Dad.
Okie doke. Good luck.
Thank you so much.
And are you going to Maillard it?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you what I used to do with that. Before I would serve it to you guys, I would put it, and then you put in the oil, mm-hmm. and then you can start to turn. You can now kind of break it up.
Once the meat has been ground on mm-hmm.
just to melt the cheese on top. But I wouldn't add it into the cooking. It was kind of something I did.
Okay, fine.
So we got the A1, a little bit of some type of, you know, pan that I could stick under the broiler.
Dad, in like 2 seconds or less, can you tell me, do you have a favorite childhood memory of me?
Yeah, you know, the one that I actually have of both you and Mimi, but I was started with you, was the merry-go-round.
Oh, merry-go-round.
Yeah. It was so much fun. And, you know, that crazy guy who fell in love with you, who thought you were just the best thing ever.
How old was she, Greg?
You know, unfortunately, I don't think he was playing with 100% of a complete deck. But he was very sweet, and he just used to run the merry-go-round. That was his job.
Yeah.
And, you know, we should get him checked, Greg.
And he fell in love with Miranda. And every time he saw Miranda, he would just be so happy in a very nice way, not in the kind mm-hmm. of crazy
and
way.
And I was like 3?
Yeah, you were probably like 3, maybe. Yeah, probably 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he used to give us free rides, if you remember, because you were supposed to give them another ticket if you stayed on after your first ride
mm-hmm.
and decided you wanted to ride again. But he never used to collect our tickets. He just loved
him some Miranda.
Yeah, men have been giving me free rides for my whole life, I guess.
Yeah.
Well,
thanks,
anyway,
Greg.
He was a very nice guy. I mean, he was very sweet. And
yeah, that's so sweet. Okay, Dad, yeah. I love you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for watching the podcast. Oh my God. Okay, so that was one of my favorite childhood dishes for sure, babe.
That sounds delicious.
I mean, I've made it for you, I think.
I've made it for you. I learned how to make it. Yeah, you love it so much.
We all love it so much.
That's beautiful. And that's something that your dad made you. Mine was something that I made myself.
Mm.
If I had to choose a childhood, we're still on food. This is a topic for all things, but my mom's ziti. Was yeah. the one thing that was my childhood memory. Okay, what about favorites? What about favorite game?
Oh my gosh, I used to love playing Candyland.
Oh my God, yep. Mm-hmm.
I loved playing Monopoly. I don't know, what about you? I would do like Bop It and things like
oh,
that.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we actually looked up one of my childhood games the other day, if you remember.
Oh, yes.
One of my favorite games was this mechanical board that had metal spirals and anodes and all kinds of things, and you would take wires and connect them to the anodes and anodes, whatever.
Yeah.
And then you would make
anal nodes.
Then you would make a radio or something, and that mm-hmm. was one of my favorite things. And I didn't use it a lot because I got frustrated because my brain was like, I love it, but I can't do it. Another favorite game of mine when I was younger was actually to do makeup. But not pretty makeup. Like, one of my funny memories that I have with my brother, actually, from my childhood was my parents were out of town, and I was like, Blaze, you know what would be really funny? If it looked like you fell down the stairs when your mom, when mom gets home. So I covered him in bruises and chocolate, I mean, in ketchup. And then
ketchup is such a theme of our life.
Oh my God, ketchup is so real. But I make really good bruises when it comes to makeup.
So you used ketchup to make bruises?
That was the blood. That was the blood, because he fell downstairs.
And the blood was where? On the floor or on him?
Just like a little bit drooling off of his mouth.
And then you used chocolate as well?
No. I misspoke.
You just used
chocolate.
Ketchup.
Chocolate would be dried blood, which means he would have been there for a while.
So what did you use to make the bruises?
Makeup.
Oh, actual makeup.
Actually makeup, yeah. One, two, three.
Oh my God. So using food to do things is crazy.
What's happening? This is real. What's happening?
So.
Oh, this is a memory.
It's a memory. So one day my little sister was blow drying her hair.
You tortured your little sister.
I had nothing to do with this. She was blow drying her hair with a round brush that got stuck.
Oh, no.
And it was crazy. It was stuck like right here. And I will never forget. She came to me in the kitchen and she was like, Biggie, help me. This is stuck. And it was really stuck. And she didn't want to cut her hair. So I don't know why. My thought process was, we have to get slip on it. So.
You had everything to do with this.
So I was like, don't worry, I got you. So I started putting olive oil.
Yeah.
And it wasn't working. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, and then I'd pull and it was still stuck. And she was so also like, ow, ow. So tender-headed. And so then I was like, okay, the olive oil didn't work. So then I used Baker's Joy, which is a spray that has.
First of all, Baker's Joy, 1990s. What's happening?
So I remember using the Baker's Joy and the white foam just like fizzed up. And then I was like, okay, this didn't work. I used so many different. I was like, maybe an egg. I think I just started having fun. So I like crack an egg on her head. And I'm like, this is our.
You tortured your sister.
Then I used peanut butter because I thought the peanut butter would somehow do something.
So bad, yo.
Oh my God. None of it worked. None of it worked. She had to end up like cutting her hair and getting the brush head cut out. It was crazy. I remember calling a friend. I guess my mom wasn't there because I called.
No, she obviously was not.
Because I called my friend's mom.
Yeah.
And she was the one who had suggested like using, I think, Dawn or something.
Oh, that's kind smart. Of, like, yeah.
So then we tried using some dish soap. Oh, my
but
God.
But after peanut butter, you had an egg.
Yeah.
Okay, you technically just made a Dutch baby. So
yeah. Really, I just had to put her in the oven for 10 minutes. It would have been delicious. I just need some sugar. It was, oh it was my crazy. God.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I put honey in my hair once as a hair mask. Don't ever do that.
Why would you do that, though, babe?
I don't know. Okay, what about favorite childhood movies? Like, what would you love to see a reboot of?
Absolutely nothing. I am so over reboots, and so is the rest of America. Hey, people in charge, stop it. Bring us something new, for Jesus' sakes.
People love a remake, babe.
I don't think we do anymore. I'm over it. You know what? Here's my theory. Before we go back, here's my theory about remakes. When movies started, we were mesmerized by the innovations of storytelling. Mm-hmm. And it furthered our brains and community in a real way. 2001 A Space Odyssey. Psycho, if you even want to put it in there. Just, we kept pushing the envelope.
Yeah.
Now, if you redo things over and over and over again, how are you pushing things forward like the original? How are you moving?
No, you're not. You're how just are repeating.
You, you're just repeating. Yeah. You're not giving us a chance to move forward in art.
Do you ever think about how things could have been different in movies? Like, what if in Lady and the Tramp they didn't eat spaghetti but they ate like lo mein? Like, how different would that movie be?
How dare you?
That's a good question.
Lo mein is such a wider noodle.
Yeah.
So it's just a stronger slurp.
And then think about it, though. That whole Lady and the Tramp moment where people would be like, let's eat spaghetti and Lady and the Tramp it. It wouldn't hit that way. It would be like, let's low main it and Lady and the Tramp it. You know what I mean?
Like, so I'm guessing that Lady and the Tramp was one of your childhood favorites?
It was, actually. It kind of scared me, though. Hmm. It scared those... We are Siamese, if you please. That fucking shit.
The reason that they canceled that movie? Because it was extremely offensive?
Probably. That scared the shit out of me.
We did have a really offensive content, too.
Oh, if you're yeah, looking we about did. It.
One of my favorite childhood movies off the radar is All Dogs Go to Heaven.
Aww.
Charlie. Hey, Charlie. She was so cute. I loved All Dogs Go to Heaven. And I also really loved Feifel Goes, American Tale, Feifel.
Mm, animal stuff.
Always animal related. What about you?
I loved Homeward Bound. That was animal related.
Oh, wow. Homeward Bound.
And animal related or insect related, A Bug's Life. I used to watch A Bug's Life on, do you remember the first kind of iteration of Apple computers that looked
like TiVo?
That looked like pregnant bellies.
Yeah,
that were the color.
Colors.
So I remember getting one of those, and it had a DVD player, and I would watch A Bug's Life on that. It had a
It was like the bubble computer.
And I would watch that, and I thought it was so cool, but I loved A Bug's Life.
Yeah, I wasn't a Bug's Life person. I appreciated it, but I was definitely over-consuming Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Like, over-consuming it, without a doubt.
I think Laura was, too.
Yeah, I think Laura did too.
Laura gasped.
But now that I think about it, you know, a lot of the movies that I liked weren't really made in the year that I was watching them.
Yeah.
American Tale, Willy Wonka.
Tale?
That's Feifel.
Oh.
That's his first one. And then he goes Feifel Goes West.
Got it.
Rescue Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
All of that. That's like a little bit older. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Classic. Anyway.
We were mature kids.
Supes mature.
Because I watched like a lot of Real Sex and Taxi Cab Confessions.
At what age?
The young age.
Babes, what age were you watching Real Sex?
Well, when did HBO put it out? When did it premiere on HBO? Because I was there. I went to that premiere. I don't know. I'm really bad with time. I do know for a fact. Like, I remember very, very clearly slicing up a mango, splashing it with lime and watching Sex in the City, and I was in seventh grade at that time, so I was 12.
Mm.
That I remember, but I don't know where Real
no
Sex.
No tahine?
Mm-mm. I don't know where Real Sex fit into that.
Real Sex for me, I definitely watched Taxi
Cab Confessions.
Taxi Cab Confessions. I probably was around the 13 or 12 age in a hotel. Like, that's where I got that kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
If I was in a hotel by myself or something.
Oh, I watched it at home.
That's
in the living room by myself.
That's on brand for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, for
it
sure.
It definitely is.
Okay, so when it comes to childhood favorites,
mm-hmm.
would you say, like, childhood? Are we talking middle school, elementary school time period?
Yeah.
Okay, so if that's the case, what would be your music choice in that area?
Ooh. I listened to Britney.
Brett.
I listened to this CD on repeat where the one song, I can't remember it. I listened to Chumbawamba, that for sure.
Oh my God,
I get
Chumbawamba
knocked down, but I get up again. But another CD that I was obsessed with had a song on it that went, there's a garden in my room. Would you like to take a look? There are many, you'll find here if you want to come inside. And I was obsessed with that album.
If you guys know what song that is, put it in the comments.
I should know what song that is. There's nothing you can hide.
It's called Garden in My Room.
In the garden in my room.
Who sang it?
By Meryl Bainbridge.
Meryl Bainbridge. Meryl. Meryl Bainbridge. So we got it. We get it.
Wow, it's like still in my brain too. It felt so eerie.
Mine was, what was No Doubt's first album? Kingdom?
I don't
know. Orange Kingdom? Or something like that. And then Alanis Morissette and Belle Biv DeVoe.
Alanis Morissette for sure.
Yeah.
I was weird with music because I never, I didn't connect with it, I think, in a way that so many people did. Like, my mom played a shit ton of classical music.
And Elvis.
So, yeah. Well, she didn't even play us. She loved Elvis, but she would play for us, like, Bach. and Mozart. Like, wow. That's what we were actually listening to. Like, Bach at bedtime was my shit.
That's Bach at bedtime is a fucking hashtag. Bach at bedtime. Well, you know what? I love your mom because my mom would clean up the house to Too Short.
That's cool. I wish my mom would have, like.
Like, I would remember waking up and being like, why are they playing Chaka Khan love songs? I'm not going downstairs right now. I don't think I'm allowed to go downstairs.
I would have liked that. My mom would play, like, the Beatles. And then she would say, yes. Like, my mom would sing, I want to hold your hand. That she used to sing that to me all the time when we'd held hands. But if I asked her anything pop culture-y or she no, was like, I don't know who that is.
Yeah, she's a book.
Yeah. And I'd be like, Mom, listen to this Destiny's Child song. Who's Destiny and her child? Like, that's my mother. I'd be like, ugh, so annoying. So we just didn't have, it wasn't supported, I guess. And I didn't have enough of an interest to then kind of like deep dive into music. But I definitely started making mixtapes and CDs and things.
Wow, a mixtape.
Yeah.
Did you make them for your loves? For your loves and all the people you loved?
I think so.
Yeah.
That was such a thing. Do you remember? Like, it was such a thing to give someone a mixtape, but I also would make them for my car. Oh my God. I used to have like a big CD booklet in my car.
300 CDs. Yeah. I used to have that too. I used to have a screen on the back of my seat so I would have movies and music.
That's bougie. I never had any shit like that.
You had Bach at night, boo.
Yeah. That's just real white. Okay. There's a difference.
that's class.
That's, yeah, that wasn't. I mean, also, we're millennials, which makes our life even more unique and interesting.
Why is that?
You know what? I think that millennials can probably relate to this. I know you and I talk about having arrested development, but I think that it's layered or even more profound for us because we are millennials. And I think that millennials grew up in this time of no technology, then coming into technology, and it's made us children in a way. Like, I don't know. I think that I know that I'm an adult, but I don't feel like an adult. I still feel super connected to my childhood. Millennials are also so deeply craving nostalgia all the time. I feel like we all want to go back. Like, I was thinking about this the other day, that part of what I loved so much about staying home from school was watching Food Network and watching all the holiday specials. And I crave that feeling. They still exist. Like, the holiday specials are still there, but they don't feel the same.
They're not as good.
And so I'm constantly chasing this feeling. And I feel like millennials really relate to that. We all want that content back, those feelings. But now we're adults, but we have no idea where, like, our gas meter is or, like, how to do adult things.
Shall I just get you a bag of Gushers and call it a day?
Oh my God, the Gusher.
Because I feel the same way, but I live in both worlds. You know, I live in adult world and child world.
But do you ever really feel like an adult, even when you're in the adult world?
No, I never feel like an adult when I'm in the adult world. I just know how to turn it on. And I think you're right that there's something wrong with us millennials. There's a crack.
Same.
Y2K actually happened, okay? The crash happened
Brains
of every millennial, and we're stuck in whatever this rotation is. And that's, you know, the millennials, I think, are also the ones that cracked the TikTok. What is that thing that was going around with TikTok saying that the Bernstein Bears were actually the Berenstein Bears? Remember?
Yes. The Mandela effect.
I think that's our fault. I think we are the Mandela effect, the millennials ourselves. Mm. Like, we jump-started the vortex, and I blame it on us.
Yeah. I mean, we're fucked up. We all need so much therapy, and we all also put LOL at the end of, like, everything we say and piss everyone off.
First of all, in my game, if you don't put LOL at the end of a sentence, they think you're angry. I'm like, no, I just said I'm going to the store. Well, are you okay?
I'm going to the store, LOL.
Like, I literally have to put LOL at the end of everything. Otherwise, are you, they'll side text me and say, hey, you said you're going to the store, but are you okay? Like, yes, bitch. Yes, I'm okay.
So you must be playing with a lot of other millennials because most.
Yes, I am.
Because younger people want us to quit it.
I'm down. Yo, I'm down to quit it.
You like a hee hee.
I love a hee hee. I do. I love a hee hee.
You do. You love it. I'm guilty of the LOL. I'll be like, I was working out and didn't pick up on time, LOL, but now I'm here. What's up? It's like not funny at all.
At all.
But I just put it there because it does give people understanding that
you're making fun of yourself. Like, I know that I fucked up. Ha ha ha, LOL.
No, I think it's because text has no tone. So I think in a way, if you put the LOL, then whoever is reading it understands that it's a lighthearted tone versus...
But that's my problem, because if you automatically think that everything's a low-hearted tone...
We're very sensitive.
Fucking millennials, man.
Millennials are. We're super sensitive. We're super fucked up. We're all just big babies in bodies.
We are big babies.
And there you go. Do you feel like you learned how to emotionally regulate yourself at all as a child? Was that a child? Was that a childhood favorite?
One of my childhood favorite activities to self-soothe is to make sure that I'm happy and pleasure myself.
Masturbate. You can say the word.
I can't. I'm a kid. I don't know what it means,
you,
Mom.
You would masturbate as a childhood favorite? Are you sure?
How old are we talking here?
How old? I mean, a childhood.
Like, what's childhood? That's what I asked. What age are we at?
You take us to the age where you were doing that, and then we'll decide, okay?
Middle school.
Okay. 11?
I'm sure I skipped a grade.
That's a good way to regulate your system, babes. It calms you down. It releases some energy. It makes you feel good. And then you can move the fuck on.
It really did. It helped me a lot.
There you go. Yeah. I'm not mad at it. What did I do?
Yeah.
Rode a merry-go-round and made a man happy.
Wow.
Isn't it funny that both Ayo. Of us, I know, right? And just thinking of us, like, thinking of you at 3 and me at 3, we would have been so fun together. We would have made a lot of people happy.
I want to add to my things. And yes, we would have been so fun together. I ate and masturbated. That was the way
At the same time? Well, shut up.
I'm not going to say that there wasn't a plate nearby. I'm just going to say it wasn't probably at the same time.
Multitasking.
Avi, I have two hands.
Yes.
We're not talking about this. Us.
I think you brought it up.
You asked the question.
I asked about your childhood emotional regulation favorites.
I answered.
Yeah, you did. Okay.
So what is your childhood regulation emotional favors?
Can you ask that question?
What is your childhood favorite emotional regulation?
What is your childhood emotional favorites?
Because it's so many big words.
It's a flavor.
It's so many words.
I didn't have one for shit. That's what I've been trying to learn as an adult. I couldn't do it for shit.
Babes, you didn't have anything. You didn't even shake in the corner. You didn't even, like, go like this and bop your head up against the wall.
Oh, rock?
You didn't do rock, you didn't rock.
Like a very disturbed person?
You gotta do something.
Oh, my God. I think I screamed. Like, I think I screamed, like, help.
Oh. I think are you at the merry-go-round at this time?
Yes, totally. Slow it down, please.
So no. you would scream help to regulate your emotions?
I honestly think that I didn't know how to self-soothe myself, which is why I would cry, and then I would try and get my mom to regulate me in some way. But I really don't think I had. I think maybe food. I think food actually
later.
Well, around 7.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. You soothed with food.
Yeah, which was really the start of a whole fucking mess of things. Talk about 2 treatment centers later, an eating disorder, an exercise addiction. Yeah, I was fucked. I was fucked.
Well, I just masturbated and ate, so.
You were fucked too.
No, I was.
That's why we're married. That's why Cheers, we're together. Babe. Cheers to that. I think it's interesting, though, because if you don't learn as a kid, then you realize that you're an adult who doesn't know how to emotionally regulate themselves. And I feel like most adults actually don't. And they just are acting out all the time.
Do you think I emotionally regulate myself well as an adult?
Honestly?
Within the context of something makes me angry. Yeah. I'm not going to put context. Yeah, honestly. That's a no.
No, I'm really thinking about it because I think I'm wanting to be really careful with my answer in just a way of giving you credit appropriately, because I think that you are very good at taking care of your own feelings and processing and regulating yourself, but sometimes the lack of awareness, I think, that you maybe have is how your process of emotionally regulating impacts others.
Without a doubt, because I never, yeah, exactly. I would totally say that's a fair assessment.
What about me?
Well, can I explain
yours?
My way of regulating of myself? Course. So in my childhood, if I got in trouble or if my parents, well, if I got in trouble by my parents, I learned that I had to take care of myself because there was no one coming to support me through an emotional outburst.
Yeah.
Outbursts weren't really warranted in the family. My favorite sentence of a lot of Black families is, I'll give you a reason to cry after they've given you multiple reasons to cry already. That's like my favorite. I'm like, so didn't you? I'm just crying out of nowhere. You didn't do nothing. Anyway, so with that, I know how to do it by myself with the door closed, whatever that process is. And taking that into adulthood, I can see how me getting over anger, getting over sadness, shutting down, being by myself, I get there, but it does block others, I guess, to help me, but then I'm not used to people helping me.
Yeah. So interesting to me because I had the same experience where I was never, oh, baby, let me help you through this. Mm-hmm. Like, if there was conflict or I was in trouble, it was, Miranda, get out of here. I was sent to a bedroom. But the difference between you and I is where you would just be in your space and find a way through. I was honestly in terror. Like, being locked in my bedroom made me so afraid. And I was like a feral animal.
You were a ball of anxiety.
Yeah, I was so anxious that I would end up like knocking and banging on the door until my mom would unlock the door, and then she would lock herself in her bedroom, and then I would bang on her door until she opened her door. And what was I trying to do? I was trying to get close to her and repair whatever was happening, or make sure that she knew I was so sorry. Or I would like write these cards that were deeply apologetic and over, and I was like begging to make sure that she saw me in a positive light again, so I wasn't going to be left. I think that was like really what was going
on. Were you ever left? Honestly, looking back, were you ever left?
Yes, I was.
Where?
Well, my mom used to leave the house sometimes when.
But she came.
She came back, so I didn't know that.
No. I'm saying, looking back now, were you ever left?
No. Correct. Not permanently.
You were never left. Some kids be out here left.
Yeah, and they're probably more resilient and not as anxious as me because they're just like, okay. I was so fearful of...
Your mom never left you. She needed her space just because I love Miss Teresa.
Yeah.
And baby Miranda didn't understand that.
Yeah.
And so adult Miranda has to remind baby Miranda, technically I was never left. She always came back.
Thank you. You're correct. And yeah, I just had like really severe abandonment issues from a really young age. Even going to school was so difficult for me as a little girl. I remember my mom used to sing the Mommy's always come back to get you song because I was so afraid of being, of having her out of my sight. But I just find it interesting that personality is so indicative. Like, your brain didn't go to a fear space in that room of now I'm going to be left. You probably were like, if my parents are gone when I get out of here, amazing.
If I...
Yeah.
I'm not going to go into that.
Yeah. And for me, it was like, if my mom is gone, my life is over.
Yeah. Different brain space, different needs from different parents and things of that nature. It would be interesting to, you know, be able to go back in time and switch parents and see if...
The messaging. If we switched parents?
Yeah, if we switched parents.
That would be so... Just for like a week.
Just... We need a month. You need a good 6 months to really... Because don't forget, everybody has masks. Everybody got to put the mask down. They know we're a different baby. You're white.
What do you think would happen to you if you were raised by my parents?
I think... Now, okay. Let me just put it into perspective. What age am I going to your parents to be raised?
Okay, let's say that you, and it's you.
It's
okay?
me. So you're, it's me. Yeah. It's Raven Simone.
It's Raven Simone going to, you're going at 2.
Well, knowing your dad, he would have yanked me off the Cosby Show. You're not on the set anymore.
Yeah.
I think that if I was raised by your mom and dad at that age,
I'm going to be honest, I probably would have been in my lesbian a little bit faster because your dad would have shared clothes with me and I'd have been like, let me borrow that, Greg.
For sure. For sure.
Let me get that, Greg.
Yeah.
And then for your mom, I definitely would have been the daughter who's like, I want to bake with you, kind of how you were. I want to learn. And I think the stories that I hear from your mother and your father and how they did regulate themselves and deal with conflict and who I am, they would have been knocking on my door like, hey, are you okay in there? Because I would have never come out.
Yeah.
I'd have been like, you good?
Because you've been like, me.
You good? Because yeah. I'm good. Like, you over here tripping. Because I also was the child where when my parents like would say something that I did was wrong or bad, I would really look at the situation and take responsibility. And then sometimes because I was gaslit a lot, I'd be like, that's not true, bro. That's just not true.
Yeah.
So I'm that type of, I'm that child. I'm like, well, you're lying to me, but I'll take it just because, just to make things a little bit easier.
Yeah. Wow.
So how do you think you would be with my mom? She never met my dad. But if you were raised by Lydia Pearman, what would be different? You'd be wearing red lipstick all the time.
Also imagining if I had been raised by your mom and your dad, I would have been the first white kid on The Cosby Show. Or I would have been on Full House.
Yeah, you would have been on Full House for sure. Or I would have been
on Full House. and yeah, I'd be wearing a lot of red lipstick and I would speak with a lot more direction. I would just be very blunt. Like, but it's let's you. Fucking toast.
But it's you, though.
It's me.
I don't know if you would be able to handle the... I think...
Interesting. Yeah.
I don't know. The one thing I think that you would be doing better than I did was stand up for yourself. Because you love a debate. And I think that you debating my dad would have been massive. And he would have... Ooh! You would have got your ass beat.
Yeah, and then I would have been like, do it again.
Yeah.
And watch what happens.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it would have been a formidable opponent.
But I wonder... how much of that is true. Like, I wonder if part of that in me comes from the experience of witnessing in my parents' personalities, you know, because my father loves a debate and I'd watch him debate other people and therefore I learned it. If my father was always trying to directly debate me or tell me what to do, I don't know. But I wasn't afraid of my parents.
Oh, I was afraid.
So I very much was comfortable saying, that's not true. They hurt me. They emotionally hurt me. They could hurt my feelings like nobody's business. But I do wonder if I was, I probably would have been scared of your dad as a little girl, which therefore I probably wouldn't have debated him and would have made me have all the traumas you have, babe. I don't know. I don't know. It's just
raised by a narcissist and.
Yeah. Here we are.
Here we are.
Let's toast to all these childhood favorites. Let's toast.
Woo, what an episode.
Today.
Yes.
On the podcast.
On the podcast.
We are toasting to Cheers. Ruby Bridges' new children's book.
Welcome, Ruby Bridges' new children's book.
In 1960, Ruby Bridges was the first African-American child to attend a whites-only elementary school in Louisiana.
Yes.
During the New Orleans school desegregation crisis.
Hold on, what's her name?
Ruby Bridges.
What year was this?
1960.
Keep going.
You know her.
My mama was one of the first black people to integrate a school in Louisiana, too. Keep going. That's why I was like, maybe my mom knows her.
She recently published a children's book as an homage to her first grade teacher called Ruby Bridges, A Talk With My Teacher. Bridges said to her teacher, Barbara Henry, was like another mom to her. She also says she would not have gotten through everything without her. Nearly 65 years later, that bond is as strong as ever between the two.
I love that, Ruby Bridges. You better write that book because here's what happened. Aww. We have to remember where we came from and the struggle so that we don't repeat it. We have to remember that we are so fortunate to live where we are. And also remember that there are people trying to take away all the work that we did do in order to get where we are. And I'm trying not to be super political, but Ruby Bridges did amazing work for us. My mom... she told me she was one of the first people to integrate the school in her neighborhood. And the confidence, the self-awareness, and the burden that that human carries to integrate a school, you and I will never understand.
No.
What we understand is we have to fight for our right of our body. And we're fighting with multiple people. But a little girl, knowing and having that awareness, it makes me go, stop thinking these kids can't handle conversations, because the kids from back in the day, they handled segregation, they handled integration, they handled all of that. True, they are traumatized and crazy, but we're not in a soft world anymore. This is not the world we live in.
I don't think we've ever been in a soft world, me quite neither. Frankly. I think that what has happened is the speed at which things happen and the amount of information that we're now able to absorb has changed, and therefore human beings are more overstimulated, more dysregulated, more caught up in narratives that aren't true, more angry, more disconnected from themselves, that it's just kind of a hellfire. But I think that one of my childhood favorites, Ursula, said it best.
Wow.
That we're all just poor, unfortunate souls. Thank you so much for watching today's episode of Tea Time with Raven and Miranda. Please make sure to like, comment, subscribe, ring the bell. Put something in the comments that was your favorite thing as a child. And maybe based off of this conversation, it'll be something kind of dramatic. Who knows? But thank you so much. Bye, y'all. Bye.